Commission meeting, if we could have the roll call.
Sure. Commissioner Reitenauer.
Present.
Commissioner Flynn.
Here.
Commissioner Young.
Here.
Commissioner Swenson.
Here.
Commissioner Okanaka. Not showing. Commissioner Chipman. Not showing. Commissioner Bush. Not showing. Okay.
All right. Would we like to excuse the commissioners who are missing?
I would make a motion to excuse the commissioners who are missing from our meeting tonight.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Any late changes to the agenda?
There are no late changes, no.
Very good. All right. Now we will open the public comment period. Anyone requesting to speak to the commission regarding all items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time. Please state your name and address. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Written comments, or do we have any submitted?
No.
No. Is there anyone on the phone or on Zoom who'd like to raise their hand? No. All right. We will wait 10 more seconds. Going. Gone. We will close the public comment. The agenda. Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes from last time? And if they look accurate, I'd accept a motion to accept them.
I would make a motion to accept the minutes from our last month's meeting as written.
Motion by Commissioner Young. Any seconds?
I will second.
Thank you, Commissioner Swenson. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes, and we have a returning member of the commission. Good to see you, Stan.
Sorry about that.
Okay, technical difficulties, we get it. We are now moving on to the business portion of the show. Ms. Lust.
Thank you, Chair Flynn. Good evening, everyone, and any members of the public, although I'm not sure we have any today. Nice to see everyone. Thank you for being flexible with the scheduling of this meeting. I know it's not our typical date, but it seems to have worked out. So our business item this evening is a public hearing, and it is on our roughly biannual updates to Title 18 of the Municipal Code, which is the Richfield Development Code. We try to do this a couple times a year to capture both housekeeping updates and minor policy changes. So the housekeeping updates are things ranging from cleaning up typos or grammatical errors to clarifying the intent when the language just hasn't been written well in the past. Minor policy changes are sort of new additions or changes to the code, minor in that they are typically kind of standalone items and are in line with our existing policies and practices. So with that, I will go ahead and share my screen here. All right. I'm trying to keep the list for this round fairly small. I know we've spent quite a bit of time this year talking through the housing code updates, which was a big meaty one. So let's use this time to just take care of a handful of small things that have come up over the past several months. So if you're following along in your packet, the screen here is just going to show the kind of summary that's on page 6. Starting on page 8 of the packet are the actual corresponding like underlined strike through text amendments if you'd like to look at or refer to those as well. So there are 5 topics under housekeeping updates. The first of which, I wish Commissioner Bush was here because it's about Oh, no, that's not the one. Never mind. We'll save that for later. There's one about fences that he would love. So the first one here is there's a the applicability section of the commercial building design provisions. We have three commercial zones, so commercial neighborhood business, commercial community business, and commercial regional business. And as to what these standards apply to, CNB was missing from the list. There's no reason it wouldn't be included in that, so we're adding it back in. The next one is setbacks in the public facility zone. There is a required minimum for setbacks. So the existing language that the conditional use would be required to increase the setbacks, there's no maximum, so that doesn't make sense, so that should be decreased. The next item has to do with when the city can propose its own comprehensive plan amendments. So we do have, based on state statute, there's a July 1 deadline for external applicants to submit requests to amend the comprehensive plan. It's July 1st. Then we take those requests, process them through Planning Commission and Council in November, December to be effective on January 1. This came up last year. We had our public works staff had a update to the street capital facilities plan and needed to get it in for that, for their timelines. It was after July 1st. We found that per the state statute, if that request is coming internally, it can be submitted after July 1st. So we just wanted to make that explicit in our code. So we don't have to reference back to the RCWs every time that comes up. The fourth item on the list, again, this is just one where we're adding a cross-reference for making things a bit more obvious. So 18715 is the dark skies ordinance, requires all lighting to be shielded and aimed downward to prevent glare and light trespass. Planned unit developments, it's come up a few times where there are lights in there that aren't quite doing the job. And they are held to those standards currently, but we're just proposing to add a cross-reference in the PUD code. So there's one more chance for people who are using our code to find that requirement a little more easily. The last item here in housekeeping also has to do with signs. Anne, our associate planner, reviews a lot of sign permits, and something that she's come up against regularly is that our code measures luminance, which is the amount of light that the sign gives off in a unit called nits. A lot of people, including sign professionals, don't know what it is, which is not very useful for applying the code. We did some research and found that there's sort of two names for the same thing, the other one being candelas per square meter. So we're going to try out putting that in there as well to see if a little more people are familiar with that. So those are the housekeeping proposals. I'm happy to take any questions before we move on to the minor policy changes.
Claire, I do have one. I'm not sure I have the numbers correct, but it has to do with the PUDs and the natural ponds and streams.
That'll be in the next section.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Talk about
410. Yeah, okay, I gotcha. 080. Mm-hmm.
Anything else from the commission? Nope. All right, we will move on to the next section then, which is the proposed minor policy changes. Again, just five topics in here that I will go through. So the first one that has to do with coming into compliance with a state standard or definition. So this legislature passed a bill earlier this year that effectively removed the upper limit on the number of unrelated individuals living together in a household. It applies to all jurisdictions in the state. Our existing definition of family caps unrelated people at six. So the proposal is just to take out that maximum of six. Adult family homes, which is more of a caretaking situation, that still, both at the state and local level, does have by definition a maximum of six. So we've just pulled that out and made it its own definition in our definitions chapter. So just some tidying up there to make sure we're in compliance with that new legislation. The next section is for our mixed use code. So currently, mixed use developments have to provide 10% open space. And as staff, something we've thought about as well, in cases where people might want to do what we call horizontal mixed use, where you have, you know, an area of the site is commercial and then an area of the site is residential versus having like upper story residential above commercial. We want that the residential area of the site to have more than 10%. We want it to look more like a planned unit development, which is 25% open space, and that's directly accessible and usable for the people living in that area. To make mixed use residential neighborhoods more like any other neighborhood in the city with those nice open space provisions. So the proposal is to increase the provision for 25% for the residential area. That can count towards meeting the overall 10%. If for some reason it doesn't meet it, then they would have to provide more in the commercial area as well. The next item is also related to our mixed use overlay. Currently, the process as written in the code is maybe missing half a step or a step. So there is a very detailed process laid out in the existing code for a mixed use master plan. However, the code isn't clear on the initial step of assigning the mixed use overlay to a piece of land or removing the mixed use overlay from a piece of land. And because that's effectively a zone change, it is something that needs to go through both Planning Commission and Council. So we've added or are proposing to add a provision in there that's an initial step in the process that you do a Type 4 application, which goes to Planning Commission and Council to add the mixed use overlay to a piece of property, and then use the existing code provisions to develop that area to come up with a master plan. And that's a type 3 process that goes through the hearing examiner. The fourth item on here is the one about the natural areas in PUDs. So for planned unit developments, the city does require a 25% open space dedication. Half of that has to be in a main facility. Half of that main facility has to be usable. So a lot of the required 25% open space can be critical areas, places that aren't usable, where you can't develop a park or a trail. And currently that how it's written excludes, like if you have a stream or a pond. We're not proposing to include stormwater ponds, it's been brought up, but we're not proposing that. We're simply proposing that if there's an existing natural water feature on the site, that can be counted towards that undevelopable open space area. The idea being that is a natural feature that adds to the quality environment of a neighborhood for viewing purposes, for habitat purposes. And so it would make sense for that to be able to be counted towards that required open space. And then finally, this is our fence item. A while back, maybe a couple rounds of code updates ago, we were looking specifically at are commercial and mixed-use zones for fencing requirements, and we did both Planning Commission and Council move forward with a provision that if fences in those zones were wood, they were allowed to be wood, but the wood had to be treated and the structural posts had to be metal, covered in wood for stability, to be structurally sound. So basically the goal is to get, you know, the best quality wood fences possible when folks do choose to install a wood fence. There's been, you know, discussion, and we've received comments and observations since then that in the residential zones as well, you see wood fences that are cheaply done, don't look particularly stable or durable. So the proposal is to, rather than making that zone specific, just put it in the overarching fence code, and any wood fence that's installed would be required to be treated wood and have those steel structural posts. So those are the minor housekeeping proposals. Be happy to take questions from the commissioners. Thank you.
Any questions?
I have a question about the fences.
Mm-hmm.
You said treated posts, are they like the pressure treated that have the holes in them?
So the wood would have to be treated as in like stained to protect from weather.
Okay, so you're, then, so it's not commercially treated, it's just painted.
Yeah, just treated in a way. Stained, I suppose people could go above and beyond, but yeah, certainly staining the wood to make it more durable against grain, for example, would be a treatment.
Because some of the pressure treated, which is what I thought you were meaning, can be poisonous to, you know, little kids and that.
Sure, yeah. No, the intent here isn't to, you know, place an undue burden on homeowners who are putting a fence up in their yard. It's just to add some protection in terms of getting products that are going to last a while and look nice from the street.
Gary, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Does anyone else have any questions? Okay, I'll go. All right, back up to the previous one about natural ponds and whatnot. My questions are, is there a definition of natural pond? I ask that because I'm familiar with development up in the Seattle area that basically had a natural pond that was created through, you know, water runoff, and they determined that it was a natural pond because it had been basically just a marshland, like a rain stormwater type deal, except it wasn't designated. It was just like a marshland at the end of a neighborhood, and it got categorized as a natural pond, even though it definitely wasn't there for, you know, maybe more than a couple of years. So I have some concerns about that. I don't know that we have, you know, an unofficial stormwater collection area in the city limits, but that could potentially happen, especially with a lot of development, a lot of roads that are not complete. So I think it'd be a good idea to figure that out. Maybe.
Definitely. We as staff can look into that. Look if we do have a definition, look at what other jurisdictions say about that as well.
Okay, that'd be good. And then
yeah.
Regarding, I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, just concurring. Thanks.
Oh, okay. And then in regards to the 25% open space, is this amending it? It doesn't seem clear in the handout, but I'm looking at packet page 10, everyone, 10 and 11, I guess. The 25% open space requirement, but is this saying that natural ponds and streams can count as 25% of the 25% or can count as the full 25%?
Sorry, I'm just getting on the same page here.
Right at the bottom of page 10.
Yeah, got it. So the intent was not to require them to be or allow them to be a certain percent of the percent. The idea is that you are required to have 25% of the whole site, and that this is something that could count towards it, whereas now it can't count towards it.
But there still is a requirement where half of that 25%, it's half, I believe, has to be usable.
Exactly.
Right.
So this can count towards the usable open space, and perhaps that should be clarified as well. The intent is that it could count as the unusable or kind of left in its natural state open space.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because marshland is not, it's pretty to look at, but it's not usable.
No.
Which is good, right? That's what we like about it. But we need to have that 12.5% at least for usable space.
Yeah, I'd be happy to work on rewriting that so it's clear that the ponds and stream areas could count towards the unusable but not the usable open space.
Yeah, and it might be more clear in the other part that references the at least 50% has to be usable, but we might just want to cross check that.
Yeah.
So, okay. I am satisfied with your answers. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. If there are no other questions, then we're going to open the public hearing to discuss this matter, and then we'll come back to the commission for more questions if we have them, or a vote. So I will now open the public hearing. If you have signed up with the clerk prior to the meeting to address the Planning Commission, your name will be called and the clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone so you're able to make your comments. If you have not provided notice in advance to speak during the public hearing, please use the raise hand feature during the public hearing if you wish to make a comment. The clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone so you're able to make your comments. For the controls over the phone, press *9 to raise your hand and press *6 to mute or unmute. As in a face-to-face meeting, please state your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes. As a reminder, there will be no back and forth interaction between the speaker and the Planning Commission. Ms. Harrington, do we have anyone waiting on the line?
We do have an attendee, and the hand
You're
is...
muted, Dorothy.
Thank you. We have one attendee, and their hand is not raised.
All right. For the attendee on the line, if you do wish to speak during the public hearing, please raise your hand and we will unmute you.
Yep.
No? All right.
Nobody.
Then I will close the public hearing and turn it back over to the commission. Do we have any final questions before we consider a vote?
None from me.
All right. Then I'd like to say a few things, I guess. I think that most of this, Ms. Less, is very, very good, but there are those few comments that we had that I want to make sure there's clarification on. So I don't think that the questions that were raised changed the amendments or the changes necessarily. I think we're just looking for a little more clarification.
Yeah. That's what I heard as well. I would say if there is, if the Planning Commission wants to make a motion to recommend these forward to council, it would be appropriate in that case to recommend a motion of approval incorporating the recommendations from Planning Commission. Something along those lines.
At this time, I would welcome such a motion.
Go ahead.
I'll make the motion that we go ahead with approval of these changes based on, you know, the recommendations that were given tonight.
Second.
Those added in.
I second it.
All right, we had a motion and a second. Thank you, Commissioner Chipman and Commissioner Bush, I believe. You were the seconder?
Yeah.
All right. All those in favor of moving these code updates to the City Council with the clarifications that we discussed, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Are there any noes? Are there any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Staff reports.
Yes, thank you. So the main thing I wanted to talk about is reopening. So we're expecting to hear updates from the state, from the governor's office around the end of this month. June 30th, the date I've heard bounced around about next stage, including next stage for the Open Public Meetings Act, which is what is affecting us doing our business here. So what I have heard, what we've talked about tentatively as staff, is that the August meeting would be able to be in person. So that's really good news for all of us, I think. That'd be really nice. Really nice to see everyone in person. I know, this has worked fine. I've been pretty happy with it, but it's always better to, you know, it's a little easier to talk and read the room when you're all there together. So I think that'll be good. As far as July goes, since this meeting got pushed back a couple weeks, and then the first July meeting is always tough with the holiday, so we're going to skip that one and reconvene in August. I'm hoping once we are able to get together that we can, one of the first things we can do is what I've talked about a couple times before and what we did a couple years ago was get some planning commissioners and council members together and do like a tour of new and ongoing development around the city. I think that's, you know, one thing we've kind of lost sitting here behind our screens is that feeling of connection to what's happening around us. I think that can happen. So that's something I'm hopefully can coordinate with council on that too and get that going maybe for later summer or fall. I think that would be good. As far as development goes, same story. We've got a lot going on. Dorothy and our building department are just as busy as ever. We are hiring a new permit technician, which is going to be a huge help, and it's going to bring us closer to the ratio of permit techs to permits as other cities in the region have. So very much looking forward to that. We interviewed a couple of candidates last week and are offering the position to someone who has great experience in Clark County and Klickitat County. Seems like she'd be a really good fit on our team. So happy about that. We're starting to see land use applications pick up again. That was one thing that kind of had a lull, relative lull last year. So we've had a lot of pre-apps. They keep rolling through. So that's fun for us. we've done two pre-ops now for senior living facilities, one on Railroad and one over by the 7-Eleven on the east side of the freeway. Those are two that have kind of stood out as interesting projects. We recently got an application in for a more permanent food cart deal over at the old, I believe it was a 7-Eleven, the abandoned building there across from Arco. They're looking at making that into keeping the old building, refurbishing it, having indoor eating area there, and then also having carts and outdoor seating areas. So that could be a really cool asset, especially as Clark College moves forward. Speaking of which, I believe they have funding to start on their first phase, so that should be coming soon. Yeah, lots of exciting things on the horizon, and looking forward to seeing everyone in person soon.
Outstanding. Thank you, Ms. Lust. And so you believe we'll hear by the end of the month whether or not August could be in person?
Hopefully. That's what I'm expecting. You know, some of the past updates have come pretty last minute, but I've heard a lot about us getting new information on the 30th, so we'll go with that for now.
All right, sounds good. All right. Anything else, Ms. Lust, from the staff?
Nothing else.
Awesome. Okay, from the commission, we're going to go in reverse alphabetical order by last name, assuming I can do this correctly. That means Commissioner Young, you're up first.
So first time a alphabet's not come to bite me in the behind there. That's usually the opposite. Nothing for me other than I would look forward to being there on August, and I learned that knits are interchangeable with candelas. So there you go.
Name.
All right. Next would be Commissioner Swenson.
Nothing at this time.
All right. Commissioner Reitenauer?
Nothing at this time.
Commissioner Okanaka?
Yes, I do. First of all, I want to apologize for jumping in late. I was actually ready to go, and my eyes got caught on Court TV in there in a late verdict, so I got tied up on that. But anyway, I'm reporting regarding Ridgefield Main Street. I just want to let everyone know that tomorrow, Thursday at 8:30, we are resuming our live in-person community meeting at the Sportsman, so everyone is welcome to join us. There will be updates from the port, the school district, and also Representative Larry Hoff on this past legislative session. So if you have nothing to do like me, please join us at 8:30. A couple other things. At the last meeting, I believe I reported that Ridgefield Main Street maxed out on our $90,000 in tax credit incentive programs, and that there was a bill pending in the legislature that would increase the fund, or almost double our funding. Well, the governor signed it, and we learned that the increase actually occurs this year. So starting October of this year, it's our intention to go out and raise another $90,000. It's really crucial for us because one of the issues that we're going to be dealing with is basically converting from a part-time Ridgefield Main Street organization to a full-time Ridgefield Main Street organization, which is going to require a full-time at least a full-time executive director, and of course that's going to take some money. So in addition to the additional opportunity to raise $90,000 in tax credit incentive programs, we're also going to be soliciting sponsorships for Ridgefield. And finally, there are people about two upcoming fundraising opportunities for Ridgefield Main Street. The first is July 23rd. It's going to be called Friday Night Flicks at the Port. It's going to feature Field of Dreams. We need to get at least 70 cars willing to participate in that. You'll see more of it. And finally, the Oktoberfest, which is going to be held on September 11th. It's going to be held downtown this year. Exact location unknown at this time, but I will keep everyone up to speed. Otherwise, we've been very busy, and I thought I was supposed to be retired, but it's become almost a full-time job for me. Anyway, thanks.
Very good. Thanks, Stan. We'll go from Stan's story watching court on TV to our very own Judge Judy, Commissioner Chip.
I really have nothing to report. The only thing I've done is enjoy the Raptor games since they've started, so.
Very nice. Off to a great start. Commissioner Bush.
Nothing to report. I'm sorry I was a little late. Had a business call, so I apologize for being late. but nothing to report.
I'm just glad to hear, Jerry, that you were not the one who was in court.
I would have been longer.
All right, I've got a few things. Number one, thank you, Commissioner Young, for covering for me last month. Looks like last month was a little bit more exciting, and I really like when we have engagement from the public. So for those who are listening to the recording or listening live, please do not hesitate to submit questions or concerns to the city. That's really helpful. I think it helps us do a better job. Judy, you're exactly right. The Ridgefield Raptors, holy smokes, they are on a roll, and they come back in those games. So don't leave early, folks. August 4th, I believe, is our next meeting then, if July is canceled. So hopefully that'll be in person. Let's see. July 19th, the Ridgefield Public School Foundation Golf Tournament takes place up at Tri Mountain. You can still register ridgefieldpsf.org. Or you can just Google Ridgefield Public School Foundation Golf, and it will pop up. You can register online. September 11th, Stan, you're exactly right. Oktoberfest, also Experience Ridgefield, is the same day. There's a little bit of overlap time, so people can do both if they're doing Experience Ridgefield. A lot of times people do that with their kids. There's going to be great activities. And then hopefully you can have a babysitter and then walk across the street to Oktoberfest. Other than that, thank you, everybody, but especially thank you to Claire and to Dorothy. And if there's nothing else, we're adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.